It's not easy living on a dying planet, but it is easy to feel overwhelmed when it comes to making changes and taking action to try and save it. Where do you start? Is it even worth it? Can you really make a difference? Welcome to the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast, where we attempt to answer these questions by spilling the tea on living sustainably in a world that's going to shit. I'm Brandy.
And I'm Hannah. And for years we've been navigating the big, messy grey area of caring about our planet. It hasn't always been smooth sailing, but we're not giving up yet. So, brew yourself a cup of tea, get comfy, and let's try and navigate that grey area together.
Hello, Give a Shitter. This is Brandy.
And this is Hannah. And you are listening to episode number 15 of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah. Welcome back.
We took quite a break over the summer. And
a well-needed break.
Well-needed break, yes. And we've been referring to this as season two, but as you heard, this is episode 15. I'm just going to keep on numbering in order because it's easier than season two, episode one.
Uh-huh. I was kind of excited to say season two. Though.
Okay, you can still say it, but like the episodes are still going to be titled sequentially.
Excellent. Okay. Well, seeing as you do that part, I'll let you decide.
So yes, welcome back, everyone. Hope you also had a restful summer. And if you are listening to this in a time in the future where it's not immediately after the summer,
I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, hope you're doing well. So today we're back, and initially I thought we would like chat about like what we've been up to this summer and like where we stayed. We traveled together and talk about, you know, tie in sustainability a bit, but I think that can be a whole other episode. Mm-hmm. Like, because we chose, like, a travel sustainable property and blah, 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 we can go. That can definitely be a whole episode.
Yeah.
Other things that happened over the summer that I'm really excited to talk about are a couple pieces of, I don't know, I guess, environmental-ish news.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to categorize it. But I'm not usually a big fan of, like, following the news because it's upsetting. But a lot of people kept posting about these two things on social media, so I started to look into it, and I'm, you know, have like mixed thoughts, feelings on these, and thought we could try and work them out on this episode.
Sounds good.
So, but before we get into that, we're updating like the format a little bit. Basically, we're just not doing tea time with actual tea anymore.
Yeah, there were a lot of times when we didn't even have the right tea.
Yeah.
And I think it was a bit confusing.
And I felt, yeah, I like the idea of it, but like in practice, it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So we're still going to have tea time where we, you know, talk
spill
about,
the tea.
Yeah, where we spill the tea and there just won't be any actual tea. We're both drinking water right now. There'll be times I'm sure we will be drinking tea. I will, more likely me than,
yeah.
than you, Hannah. So with that, we're going to remove that. And then I like want to do a bit more research and prep into an episode so that we're doing like less Googling in the episode, though that will probably still happen.
Yeah, probably.
You can't ever know or prepare for all the things. And
yeah.
It is still like a casual kind of conversational podcast. That's not changing. So things will come up that I just can't stand to not know in the moment because millennial. So I think those are really the housekeeping updates. I'm still undecided on whether I want to do like a bonus or brief episode in the in-between weeks of our regular episodes. I don't know. Stay tuned for that. You'll either see it or you won't.
Yeah, it'll be pretty obvious if we do it or not.
And
so,
Hope you enjoyed our new intro.
Yes, we're proud of it.
Yeah,
it sounds much less wooden than the first one.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. And I think it represents the show a bit more too. And then stay tuned for our new outro.
Yes. You've got a treat in store.
Okay, so two things I wanted to talk about are Nespresso and Patagonia.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who may not know, Nespresso is now a certified B Corporation. And Patagonia, the founder, has given away his company essentially to fight climate change. So Nespresso, we can try to have that chat together.
All right. Then
try to move on to Patagonia.
Yeah.
They will likely weave and relate a little bit, mm-hmm. but they're a bit different in their news. So,
can you tell us what a B Corp is?
Yeah. So a B Corp And this topic is, like, I think more gray to me and a bit more, like, upsetting, confusing me, because I've always looked at B corporations as, like, not a gold standard, but, like, I've always felt good about choosing them. Anyway, there's a nonprofit called B Lab, and they have all of these standards. They're a third-party certification, and they certify companies as certified B Corps or B corporations. There's a grocery store down the street. I mean, that's all organic and a B Corp, and, you know, you can find shoe companies, and you can even find financial services. Like, there's a whole range, and we'll link, like, the directory that you can find. Ton of category, food, clothing. Yeah, the banking financial stuff surprised me.
Can you tell us what a B Corp is?
Yes, a B Corp, certified B Corp, certified B Corporation, B Corp, like, you'll hear all of those. They're essentially a third-party certification that kind of looks at how well a company is doing. So they have been certified by this B Lab, that's just the nonprofit, to have met rigorous standards of social and environmental performance, accountability, and transparency. So they look at just not, yeah, its effect on the environment, the people who work there, social efforts.
Customers as well, right?
Yeah. Kind of all the things. So yeah. I've always looked at it as, like, not like, I kind of view it as, like, recycling, a good place to start, but a bad place to stop. But I've always felt generally pretty good about, even if a company is not perfect, okay, they have the certification, and I can feel good about, like, starting there. One of my favorite grocery stores is certified, is a certified B Corp. And, yeah, I've always felt really good about, like, whether I'm looking for a new shoe company or food or their financial services that can be certified, which is new to me, which gave me an idea for a future episode, but we'll circle back to that. So Nespresso, being a child company of Nestle,
Subsidiary?
I think that's technical word. Nestle is the parent company of Nespresso. And recently Nespresso has become one of these certified B Corps.
Yeah.
And I have confusing thoughts on that because, for those who don't know, Nestle is not known to be the best of companies.
No.
And Nespresso, not just their, like, the single-use aspect of the coffee pods, which we'll come back to, but the fact that they have been in the news for not treating people very well.
Yeah, I was reading, is it some child labor in Guatemala? Child labor,
wage theft, just not good things. So now it's become a certified B Corp, and other people are like, wait a minute.
Right.
Like, this is kind of like tarnishing the name, because I thought the whole point of being a certified B Corp is like, oh, okay, we have the certification, brands put it on their website. Hey, like, look, like, these are the efforts that we are making, we have made. And for a company like Nespresso, I wondered what they...
Because you have to be quite transparent to be a B Corp, right? You have to post all of the information of the way you got improved. And I think I was reading, is there like a 3-year like improvement plan or something?
Yeah, like it's a quite rigorous, detailed...
show improvement towards the areas you were lacking in.
Yeah, so... And if you go on Nespresso's website, they have like this section of their... Of course, they're going to put it all over the website.
Right, of course.
Inspired by a holistic approach. B Corp certified companies rethink their approach at every level and implement practices that consider the impact on all stakeholders, employees, partners, customers, society, and the environment. Which, yeah, sounds great. And for us being Nespresso, this means committing to circularity, climate, and communities through numerous programs, initiatives, and structures. Like, they have some AAA sustainable quality program that I'm not sure how, I don't know, how much of a, like, posturing thing that is, or how much good it actually, I didn't, like, go down that rabbit hole. but anyway, so they put that all on their website, and there's an article in Fair World Project that breaks down this news and looks at different, like, elements of, like, why this is an interesting move, to say the least. I love this one. Nespresso, perhaps best known for using celebrity spokesman George Clooney to give a high-end cosmopolitan look to their single-serve coffee pods, which, yeah, I mean, George Clooney can make anything look good. or perhaps they're best known for the recent string of human rights violations on farms that grow their coffee, from child labor to wage theft and abuse of factory workers. So Calico things. Either way, the brand seems a surprising fit for B Corp's claims to certify, quote, business as a force for good, unquote.
Mm-hmm. That's a great article, by the way. They have a lot of quotable elements. So, yeah, we'll link it in the show notes. You should definitely. That was the article I found most helpful as an overview because.
Yeah, it's fairworldproject.org, and we'll link the exact article. But so.
What are you thinking?
I don't know what to do with this. I personally don't buy these Nespresso pods. I have consumed them when staying with people because that's what they want coffee. That's what's there. Mm-hmm. And I make peace with that because who am I to come into someone's home and say what they should or shouldn't do, coffee-wise or just in general. But, yeah, it does make me question my reliance on B Corps and looking for that label, for that logo.
Do you buy that they could have met enough of the requirements?
I mean, they have. You have to score an 80 above for, like, all the different elements.
And they scored, like, 84 or something, right?
Out of, I think the max is, like, 200. But to be a certified B Corp, you have to score 80 or above on how they score things. Criticism I found about B Corp's certification process, or maybe it was a suggestion to, like, changes that it's just a sum total. It's not, like, a minimum per category.
Okay. Right.
So you can be lacking in one, but if you're doing
really well in another.
Exactly. You meet that overall. So I don't know. Maybe that's how they slipped by. I don't know the ins and outs of, like, how they certify and what the exact.
I guess some of the issues that have come out about child labor have come through investigative journalism, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any current, like, court case or anything like that against Nespresso. So,
and I couldn't find anything about B Lab responding to people being upset about this.
Right. I guess you could say if there's no official complaint being made, do they have to take it seriously, right?
My initial thought is just it just looks bad. Like, it's bad PR, which I think people in PR say there is no such thing as bad PR. But I don't know. In this case, I think it is. Because if your whole point is to, like, certify people and then they're supposed to feel good about supporting these brands and companies, and then one that, like, this doesn't make me want to now support Nespresso. Oh, they're certified B Corp. Okay, I feel good about buying their products now. It's more of, I'm questioning, like, this move. Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, I agree with you, but I'm wondering, you know, if someone's going to buy the product anyway, isn't it better that Nespresso are somewhat striving to be a more sustainable company, even if it's just for a case of greenwashing?
I mean, yeah, it's all relative, but I mean, doing something for the sake of greenwashing is just some more money ends up in their pocket. It's not actually.
But if the impact is the same, as in
But to be like, when you call something greenwashing, it's about profits, not about the impact. So it's greenwashed.
Right.
Tend to not make an impact.
Okay. But
is my the way I
right,
think of
yeah.
it.
No, that's true. Maybe I'm using that term wrong. But I guess if in theory, which perhaps is debatable, they are going to have to try and improve to continue to have the certification, or because consumers are looking for a more sustainable product, even if their goal is actually about profit, if to get more profit they have to do something that's good for the environment, isn't that a good thing in general? Like, even if the motivation is to get more money.
Yeah, I just, my issue is, like, does this, like, how to phrase this, does this, like, condone their bad behavior? Like, what is the accountability to, like, stop treating people like shit?
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's kind of two, we're having two different debates in a way, because I think one, you know, from what I've heard and what we know about Nestle and from the news about Nespresso, it's quite hard to argue that they're, have a nice clean record.
Yes.
So yeah, there's definitely an issue around, yeah, them being supported in that mm-hmm. by B Corp. And you're right, it kind of removes the, it does remove some of the credence around mm-hmm. that certification. Because mm-hmm. you think, well, we know all this stuff about them, but they still count as, you know, a more ethical product. But on the other hand, I guess there's another argument, perhaps maybe better used around a different kind of multinational, or I don't know, like somewhere where they don't necessarily have that record, they don't do anything good, but they're not actively doing something bad.
Mm.
If the motivation to be more sustainable or more ethical is to get money rather than because they want to do something good for the environment, is then maybe that's kind of okay.
I don't think it is. That doesn't sit right with me.
But the impact is the same.
But is it exactly the same if you're like driving force, motivating force factor, whatever you want to call it, is to make money, which is hard not to, I guess, in a capitalist society, which we'll talk more about in another episode.
But I mean, you know, that is, I mean, I would say if your motivation is just the money, then obviously your limits are going to be lower
mm-hmm.
because you're just going to want to cover what you need to cover in order to fulfill a minimum standard mm-hmm. to show your customer.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to like work extensively to have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're yep. still going to have an it does like
yeah,
that individual, the motivation is not and as important.
Yeah. I mean, you can't remove money from the equation because to exist as a company who is trying to make
mm-hmm.
a difference, just in general here, you got to keep the lights on.
Yeah. But I mean, does this kind of lead us into the next issue with Patagonia?
Yeah. But I did.
Do you want to say something more about B Corps?
Yeah, I think it just exemplifies that what we're always saying is that you have to do your research and that everything is a big gray area
mm-hmm.
because you can't just take a headline, Espresso is now certified B Corp. Okay, I'm going to run with it. I mean, you can make your own decisions, do whatever you want. But to me, I think it's definitely something to keep an eye on and to see what they actually do and how they do it. I don't know. I can't get a feel for how much they care about, like, all the bad things that they've been known to do. I know other certified B Corp coffee companies are not happy.
Yeah, no.
And they got together mm-hmm. and signed a letter expressing their thoughts on espresso certifications, and I'll link the letter or the article. I got that from, because I think, sorry, my building is very noisy. Someone just slammed their door. Apologies. I've tried to soundproof as best I could. So I think there's room for improvement for both sides here.
Mm-hmm.
I did find, something that said that, B-Lab in the past has been known to tighten their standards on like certifying financial companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like I mentioned earlier, like you get it's a sum total. So maybe there's a way to tighten standards and for like each individual kind of pillar they certify for. But also, I feel like for a company to be company known to do, you know, all of these human rights violations and to be in the news for, to be certified, like, I don't know, I feel like you owe a bit more. I don't know. Like, you got to work harder to earn that certification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but I mean, yes, they're not starting from nothing. But then, I don't know, I'm just, I agree, but there's part of me which is like kind of like a practical side, which is just like, this is a huge, you know, Nespresso is a big company. Mm-hmm. Nestle is an mm-hmm. enormous company. They're not going anywhere. So anything that we do that motivates them, even if that motivation is for money,
mm-hmm.
to maintain a share of the market, but like anything they do is better than...
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative, nothing, like everything. Right? It just, yeah, the issue that these neighbors, sorry, y'all, has me questioning this B Corp certification, and probably come back to a general certification episode.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard because, you know, it's also all very well as saying, like, do your research, but most of the time we don't have the capacity or the knowledge. The information. Like, where do you find, you know, something like the B Corp certification does is it brings together all the information. One would have hoped that they're doing their due diligence and you can kind of look at their overviews, or you know that they're looking at multiple different things. You know, it's like a shorthand, right? To be able to, okay, it's like a B Corp, right? And then,
mm-hmm.
then you can eliminate other things on the list. And then if you want, you can look further, or you can just sort of accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, it makes it more difficult because you're now like, oh, but...
Mm-hmm.
They're certifying someone who I'm like, I definitely don't think are
worthy of the certification.
Right. Who else might they have
mm-hmm.
certified?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they certify them? You know, was there some sort of like influence there? Was it just a mistake?
Mm.
You know, it does make you question things.
It does. So it's definitely something I'm going to keep an eye on. And see what B Lab's response is to, like, the letter that the other coffee companies wrote and signed. And yeah, I guess, yeah, like I said, continue to treat it, B Corp certification, like recycling. Good place to start, bad place to stop. Because, yeah, I mean, you're right. There is no perfect solution, and it is all relative. It just...
Right, I think
it's right with me.
Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, it's probably also a difference of emotional investment in that I hadn't really heard of B Corps. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you've talked about them before, but that's where I've heard about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been something I've been particularly aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's something that you have kind of put some faith in, right? Mm-hmm. Understandably, it's going to be more of a like, oh.
Wait a minute. what did she do?
Yeah,
why did she do that?
Whereas I can be a bit more like, oh well, you know,
yeah,
because I haven't, you know, been so invested. Whereas if like a fair trade thing, a similar scandal came up, then I might be like, oh, but like that's something I'm care about.
Yeah, which reminds me that one of the terms that came up when I was researching is, you know, we talk about greenwashing, but I hadn't heard this term, fair washing.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
What is like some greenwashing, like, hey, look, our product is like green, environmentally friendly, but it's not really. It's just so they can get you to buy it because they know that people are starting to care more about, you know, how we're treating our planet. Fair washing is, like you just said, fair trade is making something appear like it's being done in a fair way.
Yeah.
But it's just for sales, for profits.
Yeah.
There is no impact really behind it. And yeah, that doesn't. I also seen some like purpose washing, a similar word. Basically, just all these marketing terms to make money. Over the impact they're claiming to make.
Yeah.
Which ain't great.
No.
Nespresso, B Corp. I'm gonna keep an eye on it. I'll link to that letter.
Tell us your thoughts.
Let us know what do you think, give a shitter about this. Had you heard of B Corps? Had you heard of Nespresso? Do you have thoughts on this? Does it make you question certifications in general? Like it is me sending me down a bit of a gray spiral. What do I do? Yeah, I wonder is if I'm gonna look if there's an easy way for like I know these coffee roasters wrote a letter. Is there an easy way to contact like B-Lab to like share our thoughts?
Yeah.
Because yeah, like I said, I couldn't find like a response from them either. So I'll look into that. And then something else I had written down is, you know, if you do drink Nespresso, I don't know, maybe consider buying and supporting a local coffee roaster. That's what I came up with as far as like an action. Because yeah, we talked about doing your research.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to do if you have the time and knowledge and et cetera.
And I'm pretty sure I haven't had gotten a Nespresso, but my brother used to have one of the capsule ones, and they ended up getting these reusable capsules, and then you can fill it with your own, like the coffee of your choice.
Yeah, I had done that before. I had a roommate who had a Keurig, and I like a reusable.
I mean, from what he said, it doesn't turn out quite as good.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. I think, linking on his name, but YouTube channel I follow, I think did like a whole video on like Keurig, and yeah, that is better, but it doesn't make the best coffee. Yeah. So if you're like a coffee. True coffee aficionado or whatever, coffee snob, don't know, don't really have an answer for you.
Yeah.
And I know you had noted that a question you had brought up, is it possible to ever make an unsustainable product more environmentally friendly? Yes, it is. It's all relative. They claim you. We know we use aluminum pods over the plastic Keurig.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's still putting responsibility on the consumer, because I don't think they're acceptable everywhere, like curbside recycling.
Right.
So a small percentage actually gets recycled. So yeah, there are lots of elements
lots
to this.
Lots of issues, and yeah.
Personally, I'm not going to now support Nespresso. Like, I'm not going to start buying it just because they're a certified B Corp. I'm going to keep an eye on this and see what comes up, what happens, what comes out of this, the response from those coffee roasters in the letter.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, ultimately, like, a question I jotted down is, does this change other B Corps? Is it not as important now? It does change it for me.
Would you now doubt a B Corp?
I would doubt them more. I would be less like, oh, they're a B Corp. Okay, I'm good. I would have more of a doubt, like, well, let me investigate a little bit more into this company.
Yeah, that is like a big negative impact for the certification.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where I've landed for now. See how it unfolds. All right. Move on to the next bit of news, Patagonia.
Yeah, this one's everywhere. The Nestle one, the Nespresso, I hadn't really heard about until you kind of mentioned you wanted to talk about it for that episode. But the Patagonia is like, that seems to be everywhere. And either seems to fall along the lines of like they're having a massive tax break by doing this, or like this is a really unique, model for like non, like a for profit, but for the environment company.
Yeah. What happened? Patagonia, first of all, is an outdoor clothing company, basically, that has always been known to be a bit different, putting, people and environment pretty high up on their values. If you go on their website, it's like shop activism.
Right.
News, like.
And they've given percentages of their profits for quite a long time.
And they're also a certified B Corp. So there's the tie-in. So, yeah, their founder, I don't know how to say his name. There are a lot of vowels. Yvon Chouinard? Is that how you would say it?
I'm not sure.
Apologies, Yvon, if that's incorrect. Gave away the company to fight climate change. And how did he do that? Basically by donating his company.
But donating it to a company that, like, to a...
to a nonprofit.
To a nonprofit that he set up.
And a trust. So we have the Holdfast Collective. This nonprofit will make sure the company's annual profits, which are about $100 million per year, will be used to protect nature and biodiversity, support thriving communities, and fight the environmental crisis. in the letter on their website, basically described it as that's where 100% of the non-voting stock goes. I don't really know enough about stocks and voting and within a company structure, but so that's that. And then the Patagonia Purpose Trust, the idea is that it will create a permanent legal structure so that the company can never deviate from Chouinard's vision that a for-profit business can work for the planet.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's where all of the voting stock goes, whatever that means.
And which was all owned by the family already. Like I don't, as from what I, from, I, maybe double check that, listener, but that is what I understood from the research I've done.
So, and yeah, and then the letter on the website was, I like this quote, truth be told, there was no good option available, so we created our own. So one option was to sell Patagonia and donate the money. And that was like the initial response that like when I was looking into this is like, why don't just why don't you just donate the money? But according to this letter, he said we couldn't be sure that a new owner would maintain the values or keep our team of people around the world employed, which I think is good considering the people. Another path was to take the company public. And in this letter, what a disaster that would have been, he's quoted to say. Even public companies with good intentions are under too much pressure to create short-term gain at the expense of long-term vitality and responsibility, which also sounds
legit
to me. And then there's that quote, truth be told, there were no good options available, so we created our own, which, I mean, I think is great.
Yeah.
And instead of going public, you could say we're going purpose. Instead of extracting value from nature and transforming it into wealth for investors, we'll use the wealth Patagonia creates to protect the source of all wealth. And then it goes, talks about that structure, voting, non-voting. And I mean, I don't have as many issues with this piece of news as the Nespresso becoming a B certified B Corp, because I think some criticism that I think I do agree with is that maybe it's giving too much credit. Like, oh, look at this, like, this rich white guy, like, doing good for the environment. Like, are we putting too much, like, praise in his direction? Should this should be more of a standard thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really putting people over profit. There's still profit involved because it's for the money to then go to the this nonprofit and trust.
Yeah.
There has to be profit, which is selling their products.
Mm-hmm.
Which they've always tried to use more sustainable materials, and that's a whole other thing. So, I don't know, what are your initial thoughts on this?
I think it's certainly interesting. I feel generally positive about it. You know, I do think it obviously raises some questions. You know, I'm not so the tax issue. I'm not so, like,
bothered about.
Yeah, as in, and again, maybe I would be more bothered if I fully understood how
taxes work,
like how the taxes and the stocks work.
Yeah,
but you know, it's like, do you know, if you look at the record of the company, do they have a history of evading tax?
Not to my knowledge.
You know, like, does that seem consistent? You know, does that seem consistent? I mean, obviously, I don't know what that person thinks, but it seems consistent, more consistent with the values that they presented over a long period of time in business to say they are genuinely trying to do what they're saying they're doing. And it's sort of a weird side effect of how tax works in the system in the country they're in, that by donating money, then that's like becomes
a tax break.
Tax break, which can be used by wealthy individuals to avoid paying tax by, you know, giving money to family, et cetera, et cetera.
But if the money is not ending up back in their pockets with a tax break, if it is in this nonprofit and this trust, and the money does go to what they say it's it's supposed to go towards, I don't really see an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing that I find interesting is kind of like this kind of ethical, you know, thing about, obviously, because he's a very wealthy individual through creating this business, and I presume his family and the other people involved, it is this kind of the power and influence one individual can have versus, for example, if it was just a normal company paying tax, then the government is choosing where to spend the tax.
Mm.
And in theory, that is a more, could be argued to be a more ethical option, because in theory, a government should be representing the wants of mm-hmm. the people. Now, we know that's not necessarily always the case, but that is the theory that, right, that the government is representing a broader range of people. And I can also see right now I'm happy with what he's doing because I'm in agreement with the values that this person have. I think it's great. Like, it sounds on paper, it sounds great. However, if he was an ultra right wing political activist, like gun lobbyist, and was like, I'm putting all of, which is equally viable, right? That I'm putting everything into this private company that's going to work to, you know, to develop the ultra right wing across the world because this is the correct
what I
way that this is what I believe to be correct. I think I'd have a lot more issues.
Yeah, I would too.
So it is, by creating this structure, it's leaving a lot up to an individual. And because of the amount of wealth, obviously, then that does have a big impact.
Yeah.
Whereas in theory, a system like taxation is designed to create a fairer system because the government should be thinking of the people as a whole.
In theory, on paper, yes. But I don't know.
So that's kind of my gray area with it. If, like, taking it and being like, okay, but if this was in a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do I even agree with an individual being able to have this much wealth?
Well, no.
To begin with.
The uneven distribution of wealth is an issue. But I think, yeah, like I said, I am in agreement with the motivation behind it. Mm-hmm. And I think that I hope that it will inspire other companies to do something similar because it is working within the system that we currently have for all its flaws and you know, our time is limited to improve things.
Yeah.
Climate wise. So I'm, I see your point. I still support this because I do.
I think it'll definitely be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see how it works. It's definitely interesting, you know. Yeah, there is an element. Yeah, there's the, you know, I was just thinking, again, you know, other options like creating cooperatives or having employees have more of a share in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've definitely chosen an individualistic route, which allows them to be more extreme in the action that's being taken because it's based on one person's vision or if maybe, a few people, a small group vision.
Mm-hmm.
So more decisive action can be taken, but
I think had this been like a brand new company or a company without a track record like Patagonia has for doing good, I might question it more. But to me, it just seems in line with their values. Mm. And I believe that the money will do what they say it's going to do.
Yeah.
Whereas like Nespresso, I don't believe that. I don't know. I don't have as much faith in their attempts to, you know, have a better, a greater impact on the planet and people.
Right. I mean, yeah, I definitely, and that's why I'm not worried about the, you know, or I don't, yeah, like the tax break stuff. I'm like, well, that doesn't seem to be part of the ethos. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, there's a lot of work to avoid paying tax.
True.
You know, I think, yeah. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be like this. There are a lot of ways rich people and big companies use to evade paying tax, mm-hmm. which are a lot simpler than...
A lot less public.
And a lot less public than creating...
Yeah, yeah, I did find... You know, I wanted to read this blurb from an article I found about the taxes. While critics noted that the deal enables the family to avoid paying hefty estate taxes, defenders said that since the sellers had accepted not one penny for their shares, no taxes were due. Chouinard insists that the arrangement ensures that Mac's profits go straight into social action without being taxed first while passing through shareholders' hands. It will also protect against what he sees as capitalism's biggest flaw, the chance that future leaders would compromise Patagonia's principles. Ultimately, he hopes this move will inspire others to take outrageous actions of their own. Yeah, and I share that hope. But yeah, like I said before, there is a danger putting him and Patagonia on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to check that, like, with myself.
Yeah.
That this is not, oh, look how great he is. In fact, just, okay, good. Now what's next?
Yeah, it is really interesting. I hadn't realized how, because even hearing you say that, I mean, I'm just going back to what I've already said. But it is true, there's, like, a part of me that is quite, even though I agree with what he's doing, that is very wary of, like, you know, even this, by not paying tax, we're giving more money towards... action.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is an individualistic approach. It's really putting, being like, we know,
but within the broken system
than our government,
yeah,
and we're going to make a better choice than our government, which is maybe true.
I think it's true,
right? Yeah, to, yeah, maybe,
because yeah, there's an argument that okay, if the money should be taxed and go to the government, well, I don't trust that the American government would have a similar impact.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a big fan of taxes, so.
I mean, me like, too, yeah. Pay your taxes, but I think he's doing the best he can with the resources he has. He is not a politician. He's not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, I don't disagree with you.
Right.
But at the same time.
Yeah, on like a practical level, yes. I agree. It's probably going to have a more positive impact. I guess there's like a part of me that's grappling on a theoretical level, yeah, or an ethical level, which it's like is, a parallel, you know, issue, right? But... Like, you know, I believe in taxation and I believe in generally higher taxation because... I think money should be shared,
mm-hmm,
and yeah, the system, the democratic systems we have in most countries are to, that the government has an overview and theoretically will put that money into areas that benefit society as a whole.
In theory, yes, but in the US where the amount, sheer volume of money and taxes that are spent on military and...
Yeah.
I'd prefer this route than this money being taxed and going to the military.
Right. And if you, and if it was someone who has completely different values?
I mean, they're entitled to their opinion. But okay, the good thing about this podcast is that it's our opinion.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
So yeah, I don't have major issues. I think there are definitely things to consider and be wary, yeah, of. And, you know, rich white men are, you know, do have a lot of power.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I like talking with you has made me feel more like, it's weird. I feel this quite a strong emotional reaction that I didn't expect to feel that has like a wary aspect element of this.
Mm. More so than like the espresso.
I guess I'm less... Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the Nespresso one, yeah. But like it's interesting. I'm like, what value of mine is this like unexpectedly hitting that the other one didn't? Because obviously it's like hitting on something that I wasn't expecting it to. And I mean, I think it's what I said. I think it's like this that I'm pro collective action and wary of, in some way, wary, like theoretically, of the power, like of that, the power that one person holds by having that much money. And by basically kind of taking, like, obviously their opinion and throwing all their money at it. I happen to agree with his opinion, so like, pro it.
I see what you're saying,
But it's really interesting. It's, like, hitting this, like, a part of me that's like, oh, you know, which I didn't expect. And then I'm like, why doesn't the Nespresso hit the same?
I suppose it's different if, like, you're not someone who typically relies on or looks for third-party things.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so should we try to tie it all together and wrap it all up?
What's come out of that for you? What do you think?
So I think, well, my initial, like, main kind of takeaways and taking action were based specifically on, like, these two issues separately. So what I had said about Nespresso is doing more research when you can. And using maybe not just things that are certified B Corps, but any third-party certification as, like, a jumping-off point. So do your research, you know, dive deeper when you can, as you can. And with Patagonia, I think if you consider supporting them, if you need... If you need outdoor apparel, they also have, like, I don't know what the name of their program is, but they repair their own products. So they, like, they take the, they take that responsibility on, and other
brand
general, like, you know, do you really need to buy something?
Yeah.
Treat your clothes better, et cetera. But I think it's more of, as far as, like, taking action, it's more of, you know, like we always say, what is your priority? Is it, is it material? Is it environmental impact? Is it the people? But then I also thought of, like, just news in general, like this, these two pieces of news have sent me into
a great spiral,
some great spirals. And I am someone who tends to limit the amount of news that reaches me. So that is something to consider if you are getting bogged down by like an climate, environmental news in general, to tweak how you consume news. If you need to unsubscribe from things, unfollow people on social media, etc. Because like most things, it does come down to how you relate to the issue, as we've demonstrated in this
in this
chat.
Episode.
And, you know, we can't say whether you should or shouldn't, I don't know, support Nespresso or Patagonia. It's is your decision. And, you know, hopefully the points we've made have helped you determine your thoughts on that. Hopefully haven't sent you into a gray spiral of your own. But I think it's my main takeaway is that, I had my train of thought and now I just lost it. Is you can't just take something for face value. There are a lot of pieces into, like, each of these things that we've talked about, the Nespresso and the Patagonia.
It would be nice to take it at face value.
It would be. It really, really would be, but then I don't think we'd have this podcast.
Yeah.
So we will leave you with all links and resources that we talked about, and probably more that we didn't even get to, because I think this episode has already gone on a bit. Oh, yeah. We're 50 minutes in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I think a future episodes try and keep it under 30 minutes, but I think I had more to say than we thought we did on these two pieces. I thought by having two main things to talk about, it would...
We just needed to choose a one.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, here we go. Enjoy. I hope you've enjoyed. And let us know your thoughts and main takeaways from this episode.
Instagram.
On our Instagram at The Tea on Sustainable Living.
Yeah. On our website.
On our website, theteaonsustainableliving.com, where you can find all show notes and links. And yeah, the show notes for this episode will be theteaonsustainableliving.com/episode15. And yeah, we'll, moving forward, as far as our Instagram, I'll still just like repurpose these episodes. And then if things come up, if these things pop up in the news again, there are involvements, I will try to post them at the very least in stories. And yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out because I don't, it's not really something that we can, like, there is a final thing to it. Both of these, it's like, well, we need to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And will both of these companies do what they say
they're
going to do?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
So yeah, to be continued. And yeah.
All right.
I think that's it. Thank you so much, Givishitter, for listening. And we will see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
Now, go share it with a friend,
a coworker,
a partner,
a family member,
or whoever.
A pet? Your cat?
Someone on the street? Whoever you think could use a little more support on their sustainability journey, share it.
You can send them over to our website, theteaonsustainableliving.com. And while you're there, check out the show notes for more info on today's topic.
All right, give a shitters. See you later. Get it? To you later, as in see you later? So funny.
Brandy.